So, greetings from California to Greece to Athens. So wonderful that we can have this kind of conversation. I love
I'm
it.
coming. Me too,
Free.
me too.
We're sitting in our own little space. I have my little dog here. Let's start at the very beginning. Where and when were you born?
I was born, actually, I'm Greek from Greek parents. I was born in Melbourne, Australia,
Oh.
and we came back when I was 3 years old.
Were they working in Australia? I know that you're interested in astrology. So what?
I am an astrologer.
So what's your sun, rising, and moon?
I'm an Aries with a Scorpio rising and a Leo moon.
I would say that's very intense.
Oh yeah, it It's very intense, it's true.
When you were growing up, were you raised in the Greek Orthodox Church, or what was the religious upbringing in your family?
Yes, it was because there was a community, a Greek community in Australia, and it's a big one, I could say. So when I was born and I was baptized in a Greek Orthodox church, and they followed everything.
What
I
is
mean,
that?
everybody calls me Angela, which is an English name, but Orthodox church allows for baptizing people in specific names. It has to be either Greek or the ones that are approved from the church, the Orthodox Church. So I'm Angeliki, actually, but it's the same. I mean, in English and in Greek. So you see, that's one part that I asked my parents. Nobody calls me Angeliki. Why would I have to be like this? It's Angela. And so I was explained, it was explained to me that there is a rule for that. It's forbidden. You cannot go and say, I want to baptize my son and it's gonna be Jason. You can't. It has to be, specific names.
That are fit in the Greek tradition. And
Yeah.
then what about, did you go to Sunday school and have communion and take the Eucharist and all that kind of ritual?
No, because when I was a child and things were a bit different, to tell you the truth, we were going to church with the school. So it was like let's say Saturday at first, but then it only the school was from Monday to Saturday, and then that stopped, and it was from Monday to Friday, and Saturday became a day off. And once a month or something, we were going early in the morning on Friday, let's say, and then we were returning back to school to continue, our lessons.
Was it a government policy, or was it something that private families did the instruction on Fridays?
No. This was from the school.
Ah, so
Yeah.
what happened if a child was Jewish or Church of Latter-day Saints or something?
Until 1990s, Greece was not multicultural. It was only Greeks and a very, very few people from abroad or other religions, let's say. So usually these people were going to a separate school that was specifically for people who were not born in Greece or that was here in Illinois, actually, close to me. So everybody else was Greek, Orthodox, and you had to study. Thrησκευτικά means religious. There was a specific course at school from very early, once or twice per week, whether you like it or not.
I read that most Greeks identify as Greek Orthodox, but only about 17% go to church at least once a month. So, and
That's a lot.
you wrote that some Greeks are fanatical and some turn their back to it? What's the split about?
Okay, that 17% is too much. Most likely they're elder people. Because I'm not going either. Only if I feel like going on my own, if I feel like something. Well, yes, because these strict rules, let's say that the church, I think every church has that. We're talking now about the Orthodox Church. There are some strict rules that, you know, you feel like not you don't fit in. It's like you feel that you're not good. That's a bad thing that is going on. Makes you feel that you're not good.
If you're
we're
not
gonna talk about yes, we're gonna talk about it. I mean, from the questions I see, we're gonna talk about it later.
Wait, so people feel they're not good if they're not Greek Orthodox?
No, no, no. I mean, things that you might do in your life. Yeah. So if these are not like the rules that the Orthodox Church has, you are not good for that. You feel that it pushes you away.
So you're saying the emphasis on shame and guilt and,
exactly,
you know, sin again, that
sin,
it,
yeah,
it makes people feel, I don't want to go to church.
Yes.
Uh-huh. tell us about the difference between Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox. What I've read is that a big difference is the Orthodox churches in Russia, Greece, Eastern Europe, they don't accept the Pope. They don't think that there's a patriarch who gets divine inspiration and revelation. It's more decentralized. So say a word about that part of it.
Actually, this happened with a schisma because the people who were in the church, it was united back then during the Byzantine, the Roman Empire, it was a Roman Empire actually, but they started having some differences between the Eastern ones and the Western ones. And so it's a bit complicated. Actually, we were trying with my son to one day, what is the difference between the two of them? Okay, so if the spirit comes from God, is it inseparable or not? Is it Jesus? So it has to do with the three. It's the God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It has to do with the essence of the Holy Spirit. So to tell you the truth, it's not something we realize and understand. So that was the basis. If the three of them are separated or they're united and it comes from God, but it's also separate, it's not separate. I think this is what's going on in Orthodox Church.
So the Orthodox said, yes, there's Jesus. Yes, there's God. Yes, there's the Holy Spirit. But Jesus isn't fully God, and they're separate somehow.
Yeah, it has to do with the Holy Spirit. Is it a separate thing or is it the same? Jesus comes separately or is the same as God? So it's a very complicated, which I can tell you as an Orthodox Greek, I don't understand it. But we do know that it has to do with, it's a detail that actually you don't understand, even if somebody explains it to you, because we have been explained that, but I don't understand.
I never really understand Holy Spirit. Is that just like it emanates from God or somehow in the Trinity, Holy Spirit? Well, that's what we've been talking about. Is it separate or what is the Holy Spirit really?
Yeah. So this is the when the whole point comes. If it's this different, comes from God, that's for sure. But is it also separate? It like has a dual existence. It can be separate, but also not separate. So the concept of that is not easy to understand.
No, but Roman Catholics think there's no separation. They're all one. The Roman.
Yeah, okay. So the Orthodox says it is and it is not at the same time. Okay.
All right. So when another difference is that Orthodox churches don't have a strong pope.
Yes.
And the Roman Catholics think the pope still gets revelation from God.
Mm-hmm.
So he can say, oh, I got God told me we should bless gay and lesbian people now. But do Greek Orthodox have any kind of leaders who receive?
Yes, we do have leaders. We do have one leader. That's for Greece, because you know of the Ottoman Empire, and Greeks were underneath the Ottoman Empire. Things had to follow a little bit, not the Ottomans, but the way it was functioning, and so they had to adapt to that system. So we do have one which is for Greece. And then there is one which is in Istanbul. And here in Greece, there are others who are for various regions. And once there is a theme or something that they have to, which is important one, they have this synod.
Oh, S-Y-N-O-D, which is like a diocese or a congregation or group.
Yes, it's group, and they discuss. So it comes, it's a group one. It's a group thing. So they can discuss.
And they decide who's going to be the local patriarch.
And for the decisions also, they discuss also what the decision is going to be about a specific issue. So the issues, it's not only the one that decides, you know, and the others have, you know, their opinion, and they're like rivals, and they go against. So there is more freedom to that. They have a more powerful voice.
It seems to me that the Roman Catholic Church now, the big controversy is over conservatives who want really traditional practices, and the Pope who says, let's think about what Jesus taught. He didn't care about abortion. He cared about feeding the poor and helping your neighbor and love and forgiveness. So there's a split between conservatives and liberals led by the Pope, and who also really wants to focus on outreach to the global South, because that's where he thinks are more Catholics are going to come from. I wonder, what are the policy discussions among
It's happening right now here for the gay marriages and having children. So we do have the same thing right now happening for that. And there are some priests who say no, who are more conservative, who are more fanatic. And, you know, they have opinion over subjects. This is what I was thinking the day before. We are talking about these marriages to be not going to the church for political marriages. But they do have opinion, like the church. Why do they have an opinion over this topic when the marriage is not going to happen in the church? So, but they always have an opinion about something.
Okay, this is, does the Greek government permit same-sex marriage as legal?
It's coming now. It's going to be on February. So there was a big discussion about it. It's 2 months now that the government said we're going to allow this marriage, and we're going to allow to these people to have children. And so it's, you know, people are split, let's say. They're the ones, in general, Greek people are split from that topic, because some say it's yes, of course, has to do with rights. And others are saying no, because this is not normal, you know, the word that everybody uses. So the church also is involved to that, because lots of priests, they have, you know, YouTube channels, they have a voice that speak out, and they also go against. And there is a problem within the church. So they're trying to be Some are trying to go with the flow and say times are changing, so we have to be closer to people and their needs and the society and what's going actually happening. And the others, we said, no, this is not our role, is to keep like this as we are. I do have an experience with this kind of thing, to tell you the truth, which was 30 years ago when I was about my 20s. It was my grandmother who told me, you know what, you have to go to the church because you're like 20 now, you have to make it's a confession, to say what you have done, and the priest is going to ask you. So he started asking me, have you ever stolen something? You know, it's like, and I said, yes, from my mother's wallet. Yes, I did. I have. No, it's not good. Don't do it. Don't do that again.
Okay.
Okay. Have you ever lied? Of course I have lied. I lied. It's not good. It's a sin. Don't ever do that again. So he was asking me a few questions. Have you ever done this? Of course, this is daily life. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And at the end, he said, have you ever had a sexual, you know, relationships? And I said, yes, I am in a serious relationship. Nope, it's forbidden before marriage. You are not allowed to do that. And I said, like, you know, but I think we're going to get married. He's not just my boyfriend. Until you get married, no more sexual relationships. Anyway, by the time I left, I felt, I mean, my grandmother told me to go there and, you know, feel relief from my sins. I had more problems leaving. I felt so angry, insulted. I don't know. I was cursing. And I said, never, never, never again. Because this was not the way a priest, you know, come close to you. And I've never gone again.
Wow.
That was intense.
A Roman Catholic church priest would say, well, say 5 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers for penance or something. So do Orthodox priests do the same thing? Say, okay, you've sinned, so say these prayers?
No, he didn't tell me that. But you know what? It's not nice. He sees you. We sit like this. When the confession takes place, he's sitting in front of me. I can see him and he can see me.
Oh, it's not okay. Like the Roman Catholic.
Yeah. No.
Oh, that's even worse. More embarrassing.
Yeah, it's even worse.
Yes, Father, I had sex.
Sorry.
Another difference is Orthodox priests can marry if they marry before they're ordained. They can't marry afterwards. So is it common that there are priests with families?
Yes, and I'm not sure about what you said, if it's the same in the Orthodox Church. I know those who are, let's say, local, local churches, they're married with children. But the ones who want to climb to the hierarchy, they're not allowed. So I think it's the same with the Catholic Church.
Well,
but I'm not
the Catholic
sure.
Church, they can't marry, period. They're supposed to be celibate, the priests.
Oh, okay.
Total celibacy. And that's why they have all that problem with repression and child abuse and pedophilia and all that stuff, because they're so repressed.
Oh, no, everyone I know, they're married. Unless you have to, you know, you want to climb to the hierarchy and become not just a priest, but to, you know, understand, to be involved in the church. Or the ones who are in the monasteries.
Oh.
Of course, those people, no way. They do not.
Is there a name for those kind of monastic priests?
Monastic, just like you said.
Okay.
Because this is what it means. Alone. Monachos, that's the Greek word. It means alone. Just me, one.
Right.
And alone.
And do they have nuns, or is all the priesthood is only men?
In the church, no. Nuns are only for the monasteries.
Oh, they do have convents with women monastic.
Yeah, of course. But not in the church. They're not involved in the church. So it's only for men's show.
The Catholic Church is trying to have women as deaconesses and to be more involved in the daily ritual, participating in the ritual. Is the Orthodox trying to involve women more, or they don't want them?
I don't think so. I don't think so. We can see only women helping in the church, not nuns. They do help, like cleaning or, you know, helping the priest or in the church, whatever is needed. But no, no, it's because they love to be in the church. That's it. That's it.
And is it the same as it is elsewhere that it's more women going to church services than men?
Yeah.
Older women mainly, maybe.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Do people worry, like a big theme in the U.S. is the growing number of people who are nuns, N-O-N-E-S, no religious affiliation. What's your religious? I have none. And people are worried about secularization, the decline in church, synagogue, temple membership. Is that discussed in Greece as well?
Not discussed, but we do see it. We do see that people are not that much involved. But there is a portion, which might be a small one, but let's say their life is oriented based on their belief system. Like Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, it's a belief system, which means that it's not what they think and believe for everything in their life. It's like Jesus says that, Jesus says the other, the church says this, Holy Fathers said that. And so it's like they have their own belief system, which has to be within the borders of the dogma.
Got it.
Okay. And there are others also too, who may not go to the church, but also talk to you like this. Not a big, too many, but those few are more fanatic.
But they don't go to church, but they say prayers at home and try to follow the rules. Is that what makes them fanatic? If they
I'm not so sure that say the prayers and follow the rules. I don't know if there are so many people that do that. It's another thing. Mostly it's the belief system. Somehow it's connected. You are Greek. If you feel Greek, you're also Orthodox, and all these things are blending, and this shapes your personality. This doesn't mean that they go to the church. That's what I'm saying.
Interesting.
Is it confusing for you? Is it confusing?
Yeah, because here I would say most people who are strict in their beliefs would go to church too.
Oh, no. No, no, no. But we do go when it's Easter, when there's, important dates for Christianity.
What about young people? I mean, what do you see in terms of their affiliation or non-affiliation with the church? Youth.
As far as I have seen around me, for the youth, it's only what they have learned from school, but I don't think they're so much interested, or they do believe without having to do, I mean, it's like, I know I'm an Orthodox, okay, I believe in Jesus, I love Christianity, blah, 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 but I don't want you to tell me anything about it, but this doesn't mean that I will do what I'm supposed to do.
Interesting.
It's weird. And I know it's weird.
No, it's interesting. Yeah, I think it is different, which is interesting.
It's different because it has to do a little bit with the Greek way of thinking.
Which is what?
A lot of blah, 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 ideology, philosophy, whatever you want. But in practice or in action, not doing what you're saying, but a lot of talking and the belief system.
That's interesting that it's like I'm Greek. That means I'm Greek Orthodox. It's my identity. It's like some Jewish people that I've interviewed, they're not so interested in the Jewish rituals. It's just my identity is I associate with this history of my people. And
that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds the same. I'm really interested in Mary, because Virgin Mary, because we have so few female images on icons in Western religion. And I think that Roman Catholics say she was born without sin, gave birth as a virgin, stayed a virgin, never had children. Protestants say, oh, she had siblings after Jesus, so obviously she wasn't a virgin. What does the Orthodox Church say about Mary's nature?
The holiest of all. Mary is the untouchable. And if you ask me, from all the sense, everything that has to do with our religion, yes, when I am afraid or whatever, I say, oh, Panagia mou. Panagia is the sense of the sense. So it's Mary.
Wait, I didn't get that. So
okay.
If there's a situation that's troublesome, you think.
Yeah. I will immediately going to say about Mary. I'm going to ask her name. It feels like she's like the mother. She's close to you. And if you are looking and asking and you need an archetype that will make you feel that somebody pampers you, take care of you, or thinks of you, is gonna be Mary.
And do you say, Hail Mary, Mother of God, blessed are thou among women?
No, Panagia. Panagia, Panagia means the sense of the sense. She is the sense of everybody, the sense of everybody, the highest.
And how is that different than Holy Spirit?
I don't think that the Holy Spirit, when did the Holy Spirit came? It was when Jesus died, and then he came back to life, and then he met the apostles, and the apostles suddenly became geniuses. So it was the Holy Spirit that helped that transformation of their mind. What else is the Holy Spirit? Well, there are more, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the details, actually.
Do you think the Holy Spirit is like the concept of grace? I mean, a lot of Protestants think there's nothing you can, like Calvinists, the old Reformation, like John Calvin, there's nothing you can do because of Eve's sin. You're born sinful. You deserve to go to hell. But some of you are predestined to be saved by grace, and by grace alone, not because you deserve it, you'll go to heaven. Is that a foreign concept to you, the idea of grace saving you?
That's weird. So if you are not allowed, no, if you don't deserve it, the Holy Spirit will save you.
Why? Maybe. If you're lucky, you don't know. You don't know.
No, it's more about the higher spirit. It's the absolute knowledge. It's the ultimate mind, which is not a mind. It's the knowledge of everything.
Gnosis.
Gnosis.
Yeah, G-N-O-S.
Listen, which is true. The Christianity was affected, interconnected, you know, back then, 2000 years ago, from previous philosophical, you know, beliefs and ideals, which was the Greek ancient philosophy. So there were a lot of things that changed from being the 12 gods like becoming to one. So everything like blended. I do see a lot of similarity because we study both, you know, history and ancient Greece and the language and philosophy of Arab at school and religion. So you can see the similarities, and we do know that there was a transmission from one to the next. So a lot of things, because they are here, we understand it differently when you know about the ancient Greece and the philosophy. So you do know the difference. As you go further and further, you go further away from the Hellenic way of thinking and the ancient way. So things are changing because it has to adapt a little bit close to the people. The religion always adapts to how people are.
Like Mary is a rebirth of the goddess and the earth mother.
Yes. They say it's from Demeter. So there were these goddesses that were virgin, and there were myths talking similar. Okay, I'm going to kill me for saying that. But anyway, there were myths that you can see it in Christianity also, so which are similar. So well, they're like archetypes.
And it was an old pagan belief that you had to kill the king at the solstice so that you'd have a sacrifice to renew for have spring and sun come again. So yes. Jesus's death and sacrifice and resurrection are really tied into ancient pagan practices. That's an example, right?
Yeah. There, you can see it. You can see that there are similarities, which of course change. That's why a lot of churches were built on ancient temples. And they were, you know, they changed, like even the Parthenon. At some point, it was a church.
What's an example of how Christianity portrayed Jesus or Yahweh in terms of Greek gods? Like, is there anything Zeus?
I think it's a Dionysos. Dionysius. Uh-huh. Yeah, and that was, he was born from a mother who was a virgin. There was a myth. There were some, you know, ancient myths that they were having similar. Of course, it's not the same, not in a million years, okay? But there are some little details that you can see, okay, maybe that was added a little bit to that. Like the 24th of December, we know that Jesus was not born 25th, sorry, of December. We know that it wasn't, but the Christians were trying to celebrate the same time as the Romans with a Saturnalia for Saturn. And that was. Actually, Jesus was either born in spring or early fall. Had nothing
so you
to
know
do
when
with
the
him.
Taxes were collected.
Yes.
Yeah.
The taxes were collected. September was the month that the Romans were collecting the taxes every 4 years. It was something like this.
So yeah. Jesus could have been a Virgo.
Yeah, he could have been.
Okay, let me understand the church's view of Mary. Do they believe that she was always a virgin, that she had no children after Jesus?
No. She was a virgin, stayed virgin. It was from God that came. It was not God fertile her like Jupiter used to do. Okay, so an angel announced, you know, that you're going to have a child. So maybe it was the Holy Spirit, something that helped. But she's the virgin, and she didn't die. She was raised in the heaven. Mary.
Oh, right.
She's the untouchable.
Yeah. And have you felt her presence? I mean, when you say, Mary, I need your help, have you felt a connection?
Yes, more my mother and my sister when they had a problem. And it was from my mother I had such a connection with Mary that much.
Oh,
but you know in the family women in our family yes now that you're saying it yeah I'm thinking like my grandmother too. So women are more connected to Mary. And you feel like, yes, it's happening. If I ask something from Jesus, no, I never ask anything from Jesus with them. No. Always has to do with someone who cares.
Right. And around the world, like Fatima in Spain and appearances in Mexico, Mary has appeared in recent times. Are there any accounts in Greece of Mary appearing to people and saying,
you're not allowed to say that you had a vision or anything? Nope. Nope. Why? I once said to a priest that, which is true, I used to see sense in my, I was sleeping and I could see like it was a presence, like being there. It was a Mary. I think it was a Saint Paraskevi Friday. I think it was the Saint Dionysius. So I have seen multiple times since in my, even Jesus, it's true. I swear. I have seen something. So when I said that to a priest that we were talking, it was a friend. He said, what? You can't, this is not happening. Nope. No, these saints and Jesus do not appear in their dreams. This is very paganistic and blah, 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 blah. Okay. I said, okay. I haven't seen anything. If you see. No.
When you saw Mary and Jesus and Saint Ignatius, were you calling for them or were you in trouble or what was the circumstance?
Nothing. They just appeared. They were lined up. They were like 2-3 meter high and they were there.
Were you in bed?
Yeah, I was sleeping and I felt it like it's happening.
Were you awake and in bed or sleeping and in bed?
I was sleeping, but it's those dreams that you see like it's true.
Ah, yeah. Well,
I do have something else to tell you about Mother Mary. Now it came to me.
Good.
I was in Istanbul for a... I had a lecture there, and at the end we visited the Grand Bazaar. So there, it's Islam, you know, it's not Orthodox, has nothing to do with that. And as we were walking, I saw a little window of a shop. It was black velvet, the whole window, and I saw a silver picture of Mary, Virgin Mary. And it was an Orthodox one. And I said, what? What is here? I mean, in Grand Bazaar, I see that. And I was calling everybody, do you see it too? Do you see it too? I thought I was the only one who was, you know, seeing this picture. I don't know if they were talking, but they were looking at me like, what is she talking about now? Anyway.
They didn't see it?
I don't know. Nobody answered to me. And I was saying, do you see it? Do you see it? Nobody answered to me. And they were doing like this. And I said, are they talking to each other and they don't want to pay attention to me? Or am I the only one who sees? Anyway, and I look at the time and I say, okay, this is not something that just happened. It has something to do with, it's like a message.
A sign.
It's a sign.
Yeah.
So an hour later, we were flying back to Athens. We landed. I called my sister, how are you, blah, 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 everything, okay. And she said, you know what, today our grandmother passed away. And I said, tell me, it was around 4 o'clock, for example. And she said, yeah, something like that. And I said, I can't believe it. And it was a sign, I swear. I was asking everybody like crazy, do you see that? Am I the only one who sees it? Nobody gave me an answer. That was weird. And I still don't know if they saw it, if it was just for me, or it was there, and I was the only one who paid attention that much because it was a fine.
Well, but anyway, the fact that it was at the specific time that you saw it, I think that's significant.
Yes, because I did watch my time and my watch, and I said, no, it's 4 o'clock. Okay. For some reason, I don't know. And I asked when I returned, and they told me, yes, it was around that time.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it was a sign.
Yeah.
Let's see. Another difference is we're listing the difference between Roman Catholic and Orthodox, that Orthodox say it's okay to study the Bible critically and historically. You don't have to accept it literally.
Yeah. Well, they don't teach anything about that. You see the events, no critical thinking. Well, as long as it has to do with what Jesus said and why it's been said and about the life, yes. But if you have questions about it, no, because they tell you, believe and do not search. A phrase that I know that for ever since I was young. Believe and do not search.
Wow.
Yeah. You have to believe. If you don't believe, you're not there.
Got it.
Allow yourself into that. It's the only truth.
Interesting. Okay, one more difference is the Orthodox has more sacraments and the Eucharist. I don't know the difference. Do both think that the Eucharist, the communion, is actually the body and blood of Christ, mm-hmm. or the whole mm-hmm. spirit of it? But
well, it's when you take the little bread with the wine, which is the body and the blood of Jesus. It's like not archetype, how would you say that? It's supposed to be, it's like an example, but in reality, it might not be the exact body and it might not be the blood. But if you take it, it's like you have taken it. So it's a means of coming. It's not the same, but it's actually the same. Something like the Holy Spirit that we said before.
So it's got the template.
It's a channel. Yeah. It's the channel that comes in through this because it's blessed.
Right. And do you do that? Do you go to church and do communion?
I used to. I have changed a lot during the last 10 years.
Why?
My 8 years.
Why?
Because I came up to a point. I came to a point. That I have more guilt, I had more guilt in my life about everything I was doing based on what religion would want. Like I thought I always have a pointing finger. You're not good, doing it well here. You're not, which gave me a lot of stress. I felt like I was doing everything wrong. Okay, too many things, let's say. Or I was going in the church and I was, okay, because you have to be there and you know you have to be there clean, pure, and in the spirit, I mean. When I was inside the church, something was starting in my mind, in my, you know, there was a voice cursing. And I was saying, no, stop, 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 stop. Of course, I'm not crazy. Yeah, you have to be there. So no words, no bad words. And it was like a devil coming into my ears. Saying, stop, 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 don't say that. And for some reason, maybe because there were all these, we're going to take Istanbul back, and because, weird things with the Hagia Sophia and the Roman Empire, which is the Byzantine Empire. That's a very special topic. What are we talking about? Past history and... why do we have to believe all these things? And why do we have to be so like this? One way and, you know, narrow-minded. Narrow is narrow, right? Not open, narrow-minded. Okay. And so I there was a lot of pressure, and I started on asking a lot of questions about everything. And I said one day, no, I'm gonna be Orthodox Christian Orthodox, but not because my parents or my society or being Greek, I had to, because I want to. But this is when I started studying a lot, and the history, which I already knew, but you know it in general, never been very deep to that. And this is when I realized and I found out that connection and then continuity from ancient Greece, and actually the fact that they had to marry together, Judaism and the Greeks, and I don't know who else. So there was this hybrid, we call it in English.
Hybrid? Hubris, overweening pride?
No, hybrid, is it when there's something from here and there? Hybrid, I think.
Oh, hybrid, hybrid.
Hybrid, yeah. Yeah, it's like a hybrid, and how it actually served a lot of emperors.
Politically.
Politically. And we know that from school, that it was serving a lot politically the area.
Because Jesus said, don't go against authority. You know, let the authorities do their thing and don't resist. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, it was a good. So there were a lot of things, and I said, okay. So it doesn't mean that I'm an atheist. It doesn't mean that I'm not an Orthodox, Christian Orthodox. But of course, I changed in the way of not feeling guilty, and of course, criticizing. Okay, not belief and do not research. So maybe that's why they don't want to research, because the truth is bigger than that. Okay, so that's it.
So I see that you have a Buddha behind you. Does that mean you do meditation, or what do you do for your spiritual practice now?
Yes, I do meditate a lot. I listen a lot to music because I love it, and this cleans my mind. It's true. I do my own rituals, and of course, we do in the house. In the house, of course, the church does this. I don't know how it's called in English. When you, okay, you can talk, and I will find it in Google Translate.
How about smudge? Like you take an herb and have it smoke and clean the house with the smudge?
Yes, which is called Adulate.
Pardon?
Adulate. Sense? When you burn incense?
Yeah. It's
okay.
Yeah, we call it smudging, because you...
Okay, smudging, okay.
You take like a rolled up sage or some kind of herb.
Yeah.
Light it and then clean the house, open the windows.
Yes. We do that, yes. And Christianity in the Orthodox Church does this.
Oh, that's part of the church practice.
Yes.
Oh. Is there any particular time you do it, or just when you feel, oh, just the house needs cleaning out?
Yes.
So when you meditate, do you do like a Buddhist mantra, or how do you?
Oh. No, completely my own. The way I feel, it's not easily for me to concentrate.
Yeah.
I don't have this quality, unfortunately. So I do it in my own way. You don't have a fanatic in front of you, sorry.
Oh, no, I don't want a fanatic. I want a thinker. That's perfect. So what does Buddha mean to you?
Tranquility and a lot of spirit, actually. That's what I love about it. I haven't changed my religion. It gives me this sense that you have the ability to raise your spirits, understand more without having somebody pointing at you and telling you what to do and how to do it, if you're a saint or something like this. I don't want that.
Right. Got it.
It's stressful.
How many children do you have?
I have one son.
And how did you raise him? How old is he now?
25. Okay, my son. Actually, to tell you the truth, apart from Easter and whatever we were doing at church, which was, you know, gathering all together and going what we had to do, I never, when he was a child, I never taught him anything about it. And it's a funny thing what happened. So when he went first grade at school, there was this hour for religion, and the teacher said, you know, people are coming from Adam and Eve who left the paradise. And my son goes, no, I'm sorry, you got it wrong. We are coming from Homo sapiens. And he's, please stop that. No, it's another thing, Adam and Eve. Anyway, he comes home and he said, Mommy, you know what happened today? What happened? And they were telling us something about Adam and Eve. And I said, oh my God, I haven't talked to you about religion, you know, because he was very small, young. And I tried then to explain to him, so this is more spiritual. This is something you believe, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he didn't like it at school, elementary school at first. And then he all had a teacher in later years, and he said we had such fantastic conversations and debates. There were productive debates that I do know what religion means. At some point before he finished school, he said, I'm an atheist. And I said, it's not good. And what I'm saying, it's not good. You cannot deny that there is something very spiritual, holy, a creator, something which is above us. So being an atheist is a little bit dangerous, I said. So you will find it out, but please do not try not to, or not to not. Try not to be so scientific. And so he now, he's not an atheist, but he's not the kind of person who needs to go to church, you know, light up a candle or something. He doesn't want that. Very Aquarian.
For Greeks, it seems like Easter is the big holiday where everybody goes to church.
Yes. Because the importance of the whole thing is that Jesus was able to defeat death, come back redeemed. Redeemed not for himself, redeemed for our sins. It was him who cleaned us. And now, I mean, from the moment he was born, it means that you don't have any people that are born, do not have any excuse not to follow him. Because that's a question I did when I was in school. I said, what about those people that were, you know, were born before Jesus? And the
or
teacher...
Or who don't know about him, you know.
Yeah, of course. You know,
on when, some when... island.
And so, if you don't know, it means that you're ignorant. And so this is not a sin because you don't know. But if you do know, then it's a sin not to follow.
And
got
then,
it?
And then you go to hell?
Yeah, Saint Peter will not open the door.
Oh my. What kind of activities do you do around Easter? You go to church, have big family feast. What do you have, like in the wet in here we have Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and kids go on Easter egg hunts. What are the rituals around Easter?
Okay, the rituals. We do have the red eggs.
Oh, red eggs.
Oh yes.
For the fertility.
Red eggs.
That's a pagan festival.
Yeah, I know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Springtime egg fertility.
And so it's great Monday, Tuesday. Everybody goes. I mean, everybody. You're supposed to go every day in the church. Every day.
For the
For every day, because there is a history that, you know, unfolds. Another thing for Monday, another thing for Tuesday. Okay. So it's on Thursday. when Jesus was crucified, and then on Great Thursdays, the epitaph, go around with epitaph. It's epitaph. Okay. That's another word because I know it in Greek.
Stations of the cross.
Okay. It's epitaph. Yeah, that's the word.
Oh, epitaph.
It's a tribute to a dead person. It's like taking his dead body and go around the streets.
To the stations of the cross, right? Like you trace the steps that he took at the different stations in the church?
No, this is after he died. The epitaph after he dies.
Okay.
There are flowers and, you know, on the grave, which is not a grave, of course. So you take this around and all the people follow with candles.
Like a parade.
Yes. And then on Saturday, late at night, that's 12 o'clock. Oh, that's too late. So this is the time of resurrection. And this is the bam, boom, happens here. It's a great celebration. And with a new candle that comes, okay, the light that comes, I forgot about that. The light that comes from Jerusalem, from the Holy Grave. It travels, this light travels from Jerusalem with a special plane that it's, it comes, you know, the government and the airline. It's a specific time that comes here. And then supposedly, I suppose in Greece, in Athens, they take it, but I don't know about the rest of the places in there. It comes to every city, the same light. So this is the light that they say, Christos Anesti, which means Jesus was right. Was risen, sorry. And then the next day, which is Sunday, we have Pascha. So that's the Pascha, which is a Jewish word. And we have the, what is it? So that we eat meat. And supposedly it's the one with the cross that happened in Egypt, with the cross of a lamb, with the blood of the lamb that was outside the door of every Jewish, you know, family. And so that bad spirit did not, which was death, did not enter into the house when they saw this cross. So all these are, you know, interconnected.
Wow, a lot of history.
Yeah, but Easter for us, it's a big feast. That's it. This is what we mostly celebrate.
Yeah.
And I think the rest of the religions were the same. I mean, the Christianity, Christian religions were the same until Coca-Cola came and changed the, you know, the game with Santa Claus. I do have this impression. And then Christmas became more important because it's very nice way to celebrate.
Well, and people make a lot of money selling gifts and Christmas trees and whatever else. I want to go back to your background a little bit more. Where did you go to university? What have you done professionally? How did you get interested in astrology?
Okay, I studied at the American College of Greece.
That's why your English is so good.
Okay, it's not that good. My pronunciation is not good, and I make a lot of mistakes. Sorry.
No.
And I studied marketing management. Well, and then I worked for a while in that field, and I traveled a lot, blah, blah, blah. But I always had this interest for astrology ever since I remember myself, and no one else around me, you know, had any connection with astrology, but I did. So at the age of 34, 35, I felt this urge to change and make a huge change in my life professionally. And as I was searching for that, you know, I was Googling and I was ending up having all the topics always for astrology. And I said, hold on a minute. I'm always asking for what am I going to do? And I end up with astrological, you know, articles and astrology articles and things like that. I said, I love astrology. Why not start it? And this is how I actually started. And it went very fast. And then I'm here as an astrologer. I was on TV multiple times on TV shows. And what else? I'm also, you know, teaching sessions, blah, blah, blah. That's it.
What did you end up marrying the young man with whom you had sex when you were 20?
Yeah, he was my first husband. That scene.
And did you stay married to him?
And no, only for 7 years. We had my son. We separated and I was married to my second husband with whom we were together 20 years. So actually with my second husband, we are many more years together.
And what did you learn from the first marriage that made the second marriage work longer, better, let's say?
What did I learn? Well, the truth is that I left a lot of things that I wanted. I left them behind, you know, coming second, and relying too much on that person. And I learned, which is true, I can't blame him, that I had expectations from his potentials. I mean, I could see his potentiality, which was not a lie, and I'm not crazy. They were there. But I was more ambitious for him than I was for myself. And that was a fatal mistake. I understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Because yeah. No one can succeed for you. It's an internal process. Yeah.
Yeah. And I realized soon that we were in a different page. So it doesn't have to do with either he's a bad person or hating, nothing like this. As much painful as it is, he's in a different page. I'm in a different page. So this could not work. Yep.
And then your husband, does he think of himself as Greek Orthodox?
Oh yeah, he was more
religious.
A believer and religious, yes, than me. It's true. And then it's not that he stopped, but he could understand that he was also trapped in that thing of being guilty and have to do it and being afraid. It's not good to be afraid of anything that's holy, of God, of whatever. You have to see that as if you make a sin or a mistake, that deity or that divine thing or the creator, whatever, is there for you to support you. Get up again on your feet or believe more or find your inner strength. That's it. If they're telling you that, okay, understand what I'm saying. It's not good. It's not. This is what pushes away people from the church. I do understand that there has to be a dogma. There has to be some rules. I do understand that for sure. But the rules were made from Constantine the Great, and that was 330 AD. Okay. How many years? How many centuries? The world has moved on. So that you have to make some adaptations and you have to be more understanding towards people and their needs.
Right. And like Carl Jung says that Western civilization, and we could say religion, is barren and sterile because it's so patriarchal and it denies, except for Mary, who's so virgin and pure, women can't really be Mary, that leaves out the feminine and that emphasis on guilt and shame and following the rules. You could say we need to have a feminine input, because Mary's not into guilt and shame, I don't think. She's into forgiveness and
exactly
and support. So maybe
exactly. One day I remember I said something for fun, but it's true. You know why the world goes like this, goes to hell, let's say? Because God is a man.
Because it's portrayed as a man.
Yeah, it's a man. Yeah. Oh, that was for fun, of course. What I was meaning is was this, the patriarchy, you know, everything has to do with the male and dominance, and Christianity didn't start like this. Actually, it started as equality, and we want women with us. And in the moment that, you know, it became accepted from Constantine and the rest of the emperors, things changed rapidly again back to where they were. And even worse, to tell the truth, even worse.
Yeah. I think Tertullian, third century, said, women, you're the gateway of hell. Because of you, because of Eve, we born full of sin. So there was a lot of, I would say, fear and hatred of women.
Yeah,
and
that, exactly.
That doesn't help the church's spirituality.
Exactly. Do you know that there was something that my grandmother was told me? Actually, this is not written somewhere, but I think it's the unwritten law that if you have your every month, women have their,
menstrual period.
Yeah.
Menstruate.
Yeah. You can, you should not allow, you should not go enter into the church, because the church is something pure, no? And you're going to, I said, what? Who's going to see it? No, God sees everything. You should not. Even that is not good. I said, I didn't choose for that. It was given to me by God. So why should I feel shame for that? I mean, everything had to do with shame to that, shame to this, shame to the... And I think also in the Catholic Church, I suppose people see it the same way. I think Christians see that a lot. If I'm not mistaken, in Northern Europe, most people are not anymore as religious as they used to be.
Yeah, right. Could you say a word about why you think astrology works? I mean, why is it that the constellations when you were born create a pattern of your lifetime issues, strengths, and weaknesses? How can that possibly be?
Because this is like a language, it's a crypto language. And when the soul comes, because I have seen the soul of my son, coming the moment I was getting pregnant with my son, is a light coming.
Oh, so this, wow.
So yes, that was a fantastic experience, seeing my son coming. Anyway, and so when it's like you're taking a guide with you when you come here in this world, of what you have to work on, how you will work with that. It's your choice to do it or not do it. So there are things that you have some strengths and some weaknesses, like a game, not a matrix, I'm going to say that, but it's like a game that you have to play. So there is an unwritten guidebook that comes and follows you. So every time it's the time, the right time to do it and make the correction. Like there is a transit or there is an eclipse, there is something that comes from above. So see it like a language to that, but it's a crypto, actually.
But okay, I have my Mars and Aries in the midheaven, so I have a lot of energy in my 10th house of occupation and whatever. So what's the physics of where the planet Mars was in the constellation of Aries? How can that possibly affect me? What's the physics of it?
Because it's not something, a magnetic field that passes and comes through you. It's a guide. This is what it is. It's a print of that you take it. Let's say it's your ID. It's your passport. It's your passport to come to Earth. So this dimension that you're coming, this is what you get with you. And of course, taking solely one thing in your chart, it has to be a combination, actually. You have to see the whole picture. And I do have an example of something. Well, twins or children that come with what? 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes difference. It's not a change in the chart. And you see having completely different lives or occupation or anything that happens in their life. You do see the personalities, of course. I do have twin nieces. I do know a very famous singer here, very successful. And he was born with the other two, one brother and one sister together. So there were three, but he was the one that was famous. I do have clients who are like this. And in that case, I say that maybe you take this, the other person takes that, the other person takes, you know, the third part, takes something else. It's like you're working separately, but in reality, you're going to make it a whole. So it is up to the person to understand it. Of course, this the family that you were born in, what you have learned, what you have taught. But when it comes to your spirit, the spirit is working at the moment that there is something. And maybe you don't understand it. So maybe this is for the after, for after what you will take with you.
Right. Do you believe in reincarnation?
Yeah.
Does the church?
Ancient Greek, no, the church, no. Ancient Greeks did believe that you can come, but you do forget. You drink from the moment you die, you drink from the water that you forget. And then if you come, you don't remember. I do believe, I can't prove it, but I do believe that, you know, maybe it's not here, maybe it's somewhere else. But of course, there is a continuity. Yeah. I had the impression that I was a priestess of Athena in ancient Athens. Not now. That's cool. I said, I'm sure I lived in ancient Athens and I was a priestess of that goddess. And I love Athena.
Mm. Beautiful. If someone looked at your chart and they didn't know you, they would say, Angela, a real strength of hers is going to be this.
You mean about occupation?
Or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Let me tell you something that my son, the Aquarius, he wants proofs and not sure. He doesn't say that, I don't believe. He said, I would really like to see how this works. And so we did something. He did something to me, which, to tell you the truth, we're thinking of doing it in conferences and, you know, in gatherings because it was genius. So he gives me a chart, he writes down, you know, he finds famous people or people who are very important, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, doesn't matter, but people, okay. So he writes on the computer, the date, the hour, whatever he has found, and he gives me the chart. And he said, okay, you see that? Tell me, what do you think about this person? And knowing nothing, if it's a woman or a man or whatever. So I was giving him, you know, the explanation of the chart, the first one, the second one. Every time he was saying, wow, this was for him, this was her. Anyway, after we have done so many charts, he was saying, what occupation do you think that person could do? And I was giving multiple, I don't say 100. I say, has this strength, this strength, and this strength. So could be a lawyer from that strength, or it could be an artist from that. I can tell you that every time one of the strengths was the occupation, but that it didn't have to do with something on the 10th house. You could see the strength.
Mm.
And at the end, after we have done 15 charts, 20 charts, he said, One thing I did understand is that the person decides what's best for that person, how that person feels. Because you might have a wonderful talent about something and you don't do it as making money out of it. Just doing it because you love it and choosing something else. That for the occupation. If you have another strength as a personality, lots of times, and we saw that in the chart, that strength was either given to the husband or wife, or it was coming from a family member. So when someone else has it, you don't work on that, even if you have it in your chart. So you might have a chart that looks a bit ambitious, but the person decides not to because married to a very ambitious person who is the one that climbs, just like I told you at first with my first husband, just giving that. So it means that sometimes you do give it to the other person and you're not working on that. That's why we might become again and again and again, because we don't take
full
potential. It takes time. Yeah.
So what in your chart indicates that you would be an astrologer?
Actually, I do have a Jupiter on my ascendant, which is very philosophical. So my attitude in the world is like this and seeking the truth. And it's trying Athena Pallas in my chart, which is in Pisces. But it's the eclipses, actually, that I have my eclipses from Virgo to Pisces. And Virgo wants everything to be explained. So I did have always this great instinct or a voice that could tell me an answer or suddenly having a knowledge of something, but I never trusted it because I could not see it, I could not touch it. And at some point I realized that I had to do the one that can give me a reason why. So I could have the cards. The cards do not give me why. They don't give me an explanation. It's just inspiration and just like instinct. Astrology is there and it tells you there is a pattern. So this is what I need. Understand?
Yeah, got it. Okay, last question is, if young people are not interested in the church, what do you think is the future of the Greek Orthodox Church? And you said that people aren't really discussing the problem of lack of interest.
No, because it's like when you take it from your parents, so it's something that it continues. It doesn't have to be like crazy Orthodox, but you know that you're an Orthodox. This is something you take.
You're right.
You know, one generation, it's from one generation to the other. So the thing also is that we are a multicultural state now. There are lots of people here. I don't think that will affect at all. But eventually, in the future, I am sure it's going to strengthen the faith. I mean, there is like a decline now, but I think that they're coming again to a point where they want to find a place to believe in, because society is going to hell. Has to do with the ethical part, or has to do with we have events happening that were not happening in the past, like too many killings, you know, shootings and things like that. We didn't have that. And suddenly you see a lot of them. So people think, okay, you see, it's because you have moved away from the church. Even a priest said that on television. What do you think about, you know, how do you explain that violence and how children, young children are so violent now? Oh, because you have moved away from the church. It's like that. So it tells you. And maybe there is a truth to that. If you cannot control and make a good use of the freedom you are given, then it's better to have something like an anchor to be there and think and believe for you. Ready-made beliefs and ideas. You get that?
I get it. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. But is there any criticism of the Russian Orthodox patriarch is hand in hand with Putin and like justifies the war in Ukraine? People aren't talking about that.
No, because there are people in Greece that probably the ones that are more fanatic, that because they're the brother Orthodox, do support the whole thing with Putin. Because they are the Orthodox. So they do support. There are others, especially now, we do that with the war, which is south in
Gaza.
Israel, in terrible. Gaza, and yeah, the terrible thing. So it's like the attention has moved to in another direction. But in the beginning, there was the support, some sort of support to Putin. Here, even in Greece, yeah.
For the invasion of Ukraine?
Yeah, there were people that were supporting it.
Because they said it used to be Russia, it should be Russian again.
I don't know. I don't think they knew exactly why they were supporting. It was like support.
Got it.
No, thinking about it. So in terms of Christianity in here with Kirill, the patriarch of, no, it was, nobody said anything about anything.
Got it. Have we left anything out? Anything that comes to mind that we should add?
No, I think I said also about my experiences and my stories that you didn't ask.
It was wonderful. That was the best part. That was great. Thank you.
I thank you. Thank you very much, Gail.
Wait. Mm.